Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. It's a night of really cool gear. I'm really excited tonight because I've been playing around with these pedals, and they are just short of amazing. I want to welcome back Pete Sully from Strymon. He's the co-founder and one of the major designers of these cool pedals. And Jack is here. Jack will be talking a little bit about this special that they're having for the Zuma. And Ethan, I hope you feel better. He wasn't feeling well, so he couldn't come today. And also Kathy Lauer from Tone Zone LA, who uses these a lot and in the pedal boards that she builds. And she's going to talk about some of the projects that she's doing. And but before I get into the pedals, let's talk about this special event that you guys are doing in honor of World Ocean Day.
Yes, that is correct. Sorry about that. from right now until the end of September, we are donating a portion of all Zuma power supply sales to the California Wildlife Center, which they help the wildlife off of our coast and our oceans. So we're pretty excited about that.
That's very cool. And it's till September 20th. If you buy a Zuma, they will donate to that. And then you guys are going to be down at the beach.
We will be down at Zuma Beach on September 20th, cleaning up the coast with the California Wildlife Center. We will present them with the check with our donation at that time.
So if you need a power supply, this is the time, and get one of the Zumas, and it'll also help a good cause. So I just wanted to mention that. Anyway, it's great to have you back, Pete. It's really cool. Thanks. And you brought some of the favorite. This is really a treat for me because I'm really excited about these pedals because they sound great. And one of them I know is pretty popular already, the Big Sky. Everybody, we'll get into that in a minute. But I want to start out with the Riverside.
Sure.
And I want you to compare. On the show that we did in, it was April 8th, the first show I did with Strymon, and there was three other pedals there. They had the Sunset, and it was another type of a dual drive pedal. I wanted you to tell us a little bit of the difference, and then get into this one.
Sure. The Sunset is a dual overdrive pedal, so the voicing and the sounds are inspired by the classic overdrive circuits, like a tube screamer, say,
mm-hmm.
And there's two of them, available simultaneously. And like many overdrive pedals, each one has three controls. There's a drive, a volume, and a tone. So you have two independent overdrive circuits available on Sunset. For Riverside, it's a multi-stage drive. So it's not a dual architecture. It's one drive that is inspired by like 12AX7 tube cascading tube stages. So it gives you, it just has a different kind of dynamic response and feel to it. and it's more like a preamp channel in front of your amp, like an extra, you know, tube gain stage,
mm-hmm.
In front of your amplifier, as opposed to a traditional overdrive pedal. So it's got a little bit of a different vibe. It's almost like adding another channel to your amp.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. And there's some really cool things that you have on here I want to mention real quick. On the back of the pedal, on your output, there's a switch for presence. So depending on the type of amp, if you have an amp that's darker or you're playing a gig like Kathy does where she backlines and she doesn't have a choice. She has whatever amp they give her. You can actually brighten it up. And that, to me, is like one of the coolest things that's on here.
Yeah, we thought that was important as we were developing it. You know, that the high-end responsive amplifiers, even within the same amplifier that has, you know, different channels, like a Fender Deluxe, you know, has pretty radically different response in the high end between the vibrato channel and the normal channel. And, you know, the ability to kind of tailor the high end to work with, you know, any amp that you are presented with or that you own was pretty key to making the pedal as versatile as we wanted to make it.
Now, was you mentioned the 12AX7.
Mm-hmm.
This preamp, what is it modeled after more or designed more like with the American sound, like a Fender type of preamp? Or, and I'm using this generic because there's so many other ones out now, but I mean, as opposed to like a British, like a Marshall?
It's really, I guess you'd say it's our own, you know, the tube stages are designed and voiced to, you know, to what we like to call an infinite sweet spot. So we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that, you know, at any gain setting and at any, you know, EQ setting, that it was going to, you know, produce a nice, you know, musical response. So we weren't really looking specifically to try to capture the sound of an American versus, you know.
Okay,
British,
so it's its own thing.
Yes.
Okay, no, yep. That's cool. Well, let's take a listen and go through a little bit of what it does.
Sure. So here's everything bypassed. So now, at very low drive settings, it's going to be very transparent. It has a three-band EQ, a bass, middle, and treble. So as we bring the drive up, you just, you know, start to get a little bit of a saturation.
And we're going direct right now through the board, so there's no amp.
Right, we've got the cab filter from Big Sky is
on right now.
Yeah, is to take make the high end you know, kind of sit like it would through a guitar speaker, a guitar amp.
Do me a favor, so that people, since we're talking about that cab function,
right,
bypass it so they hear what it is straight.
Okay, sure, yeah.
So here.
So yeah, that's your like plugging your guitar into your stereo, like when you're 10 years old, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And now that. Because the guitar speaker has a very strong, you know, equalized EQ response to it at the high end. It's not able to produce, you know, high frequencies. So it, you know, it really is a big part of the sound of a guitar. And especially once you have any sort of distortion that's creating higher frequency harmonics, you really need that guitar speaker voicing to make sure that everything kind of sounds natural.
Now, what do you have the presence set at? We might as well show that real quick.
Yeah. It is currently in the middle. Yeah. So, let's... I'll turn a little more gain here, and so now that's at the minus setting. Get a little more gain here too, and we'll chill out the reverb right here. So that's the low setting.
And what's that? Is that a boost too or a cut?
That's cutting the relative to the center. That was cutting even more. So now this is the middle setting. To hear a little more presence going on at the top.
Right.
And this is the bright setting. This is what would be used if you had a dark amp. So, and you know, through the Big Sky here, that sounds pretty good. It's really just kind of what you're going after.
Now, I think also to bypass the cab for a minute and go through the settings, because the cab setting is filtering it, so you're not catching what it's doing.
So here's
this is full up. This is full presence.
Yeah, and we'll just get a little more drive here.
So you can hear the you can hear the top end. Okay.
Yeah, and here's the middle section.
You can hear the difference.
Yeah. And then.
So even without the cab setting, using that present, you can actually tape it, smooth it out a little bit for recording.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I think you can all like remember, you know, songs that might you know be using that kind of a kind of fuzzy, you know, guitar sound that you could get going direct into the board with it. So that's it's not bad.
Sounds like that the guitar reeling in the ears.
I was thinking the exact same thing,
We've listened to the same stuff.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a little bit. Yeah, that's the idea.
And then, okay, go ahead and set your cab back up so we're back in. But then you can see that the presence control, it's pretty versatile.
Yeah.
So if you're using it, depending on what amp, you can really match it nice.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so go back. Let's go back in a little more what some of the features on here.
Sure. Yeah, so we've got... two settings for gain and two settings. We have a mid push. So I'm in the lower gain setting, which still will give you a reasonable amount of drive.
That's on normal, right?
Yeah, that's on normal. It pushes on normal, and the gain is on the low setting.
Okay.
But the drive is turned all the way up. So the drive is driving. You know, it's the level of drive through the tube stages, and the level knob is just a straight volume control.
Like a master volume coming out of it.
So now if I go to mid-push, let's bring the drive back a little bit here. And now I'll go to mid-push. So it pushes, it also will push the tube stages into a higher level of saturation.
So that mid push is before the drive?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, it's in that circuit, in the first circuit. Yep. And then this is basically just a volume level, but this is, if you set this clean, this will always be clean, right?
That's right.
So if you're not using any distortion, it's just like, so you can actually use it as a buffer if you wanted to.
The idea is because as you add drive, you know, the signal will get louder. That's the nature of drive. And then at some point, once it's distorted, then essentially it won't get louder. It'll just get more distorted. But depending on your, you know, the level of your guitar output or what's coming before it, you want to be able to, you know, with clean drive, still the level will allow you to. So there's drives at minimum and levels at maximum. And here's bypass. So the idea is that, you could use it. Now it's essentially just a buffer. Or really, it's an EQ pedal in a sense, you know.
Yeah, and he has down here, he has a bass, middle, and treble. So it's just like a regular preamp, a channel.
Right, yeah. And then as you bring the drive up, it starts getting louder. So the level control, just so you can kind of set a nice balance.
Yeah.
And then...
And it's real, I mean, it must be, one thing I want to point out is that drive is really subtle. So you can dial in just a little bit of edge. So like if you're going for like a clean sound with a little more response, just to get it a little dirty, but not really blown out, it gets that. And it's really, you can dial it in really nice. And it's real sensitive to dynamics.
That's what I was going
to
go. Yeah. Next is like if you're playing. Bring the drive up a little bit more, then you can, it'll still be clean if you're playing lightly.
So when he digs in, it gets the dirt, but then it's clean when he plays that.
So that's the low setting. And if we go to the high setting, it's just a higher, more gain is added through the cascaded tube stages. And then if we add the mid push now, it's, we get like kind of full tilt. Go to our bridge pickup here. So yeah, the middle control is post. So the push is pre, but the mid control is post. So you can really kind of get a scooped sound there if you want.
So if you scoop it, yeah, get that heavy metal. Yeah. It's amazing because he's getting that right into the board. So depending on what amp, you know, you can, it's pretty, you got it already going into whatever amp you're going to use. You have the sound. I mean, it's those tone controls. I mean, it's like it's a full channel.
Yeah. That was where we had, I'd mentioned earlier, the infinite sweet spot. We spent a lot of time really trying to, you know, dial in the response and the frequency response of these settings in a way that would just kind of give you a wide range and really just kind of, you know, end up being, you know, musically useful. And it shares the same JFET analog front end. So the first thing that happens in this pedal is it goes through a class A discrete JFET gain circuit, mm-hmm. Which is also, you know, nice to, you know, respond to your guitar. It helps with the overall kind of feel and response.
So hey, yeah, how sure. about would the Riverside work in front of, let's say somebody wanted to use it in front of a tube power amp?
Sure.
Or even a MOSFET, something there where this became the actual preamp to an amp setup, but yeah. with a separate power amp?
Yeah, you can do that. And that's also one of the things that we found the presence control can be really useful for, because depending on the power amp's output impedance, how it interacts with a speaker can be... you know, if you're just kind of going without the, you know, a preamp, the power amp will have a different response that the presence switch can also really help, like, you know, bring some life to it or you know, mellow it out if it's
bright. Because as I'm listening to yeah. it, I'm actually hearing that, like, an amp's preamp stage all by itself.
Yeah, we did do experiments with that. That was part of also the voicing and the design of it. Was to go to straight into some power amps to say, okay, what if this is going to take the place of your actual, you know, the pre section of your amplifier?
Yeah, your preamp.
Yeah, and that's you know, again kind of highlights the difference between this and Sunset is that, you know, Sunset is based on traditional overdrive pedals, which you know have a little more of a, you know, typically the range of sound is a little more focused. You know, mm-hmm. it's not as wide ranging. Whereas this really with its three-band EQ and, you know, various gain options.
So this is basically a high-gain preamp.
That's correct, yeah, yeah.
In a box.
That's, in a box. That's correct, yep.
And that's great. I mean, it's pretty brown-sounding there.
Yeah.
Without the power tubes clipping, and it gets plenty of, I mean, it gets the tone.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
We spent a lot of, this was the, you know, well, this came out just slightly before Sunset, but they were kind of developed in conjunction, but the essentially, the DSP engine that we have to create those tones, you know, was you know, something that we had spent a long time developing because we wanted to, you know, it's always, you know, we didn't take it lightly to say, okay, we're going to be creating this distortion, you know, after the analog gain stage, you know, the real, you know, work of creating that distortion is happening in a digital signal processor, and you know, we didn't want at all to be for that to be, you know, a limitation, or, you know, it's like, we know what, you know, good tone is, and we had to work mm-hmm. to make sure that we were able to produce it. And now that we can do that, you know, like Riverside, like Sunset, has, through its expression pedal, you can send MIDI, and you can store 300 presets on it. All the knobs are, you know, available through an expression pedal control. And so it's really, you know.
Where does the MIDI input?
The expression jack.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should talk about that too. He has in and out, which the presence control is on, and then there's a boost.
Yep.
Now, what's that? Is that a switch that just?
Yeah, yeah. If you use like our favorite switch, you can remotely engage a boost. I believe it's 6 dB.
6 dB. Yeah. So like you're playing a crunch sound, and then you want to step out with a lead. You just hit that puppy.
Is that a latching type switch? Let's say somebody wanted to engage that through their looper or something where it has the function switch? Can they do that?
You know, I'm not the... That's if you ask me something about the DSP, I'll give you the definitive answer. And this is where too bad Ethan's sick, because he probably knows the definitive answer, and it's probably slightly embarrassing that I don't. But it's not the world that I'm living in. So I do believe it's latching, but I don't want to make any
attached to what, because I mean, if you plug this into the loop, and you have that button somewhere on the pedal board, you just hit it and it goes
right. If it's a latching switch, then any function switch from any looper or something actually can engage that then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I don't think you have to just use their switch.
I'm pretty sure your...
Because you mentioned that in the video on their website. They mentioned that you can use any type of a switch.
Yeah,
standard
switch. Yeah, it's not proprietary, I just didn't know if it was latching or momentary, but it's probably...
And then the expression, what does that do? Does that act like a volume control?
That's where you can send. You can actually change any of the knobs through from the expression pedal. You can basically, you know, kind of automate two sets of knob movements, and then also you can. We have a cable that will it has MIDI on one end and TRS on the other end, and it will. You can send MIDI commands like program changes and things through that expression pedal jack.
That is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That is very cool.
That makes that pedal really versatile.
Yeah, I mean, right. It can be, you know, and on board, well, yeah, we have a favorite switch right here. So just give you an example of where we're at. Get a tone here. Then I just hit favorite.
See, that's great. And that's without putting anything else in there.
Yeah, so that's just available full time. And what? There was something else I wanted to mention about this. What was that?
Well, you can, using the favorite switch, you can, if you connect it, I guess, through the EXP expression to another pedal, you can actually run, when you hit the favorite, it changes both settings.
Yes, you can, yeah.
So you can actually do a poor man's version of a Tone Zone LA pedal board. So you could actually have...
not for too long.
Well, yeah, but how many pedals can you gang?
That's also a question that I don't have off the top of my head. So we have a design team, and I'm only I'm a cog in the wheel.
Hey,
of the
you're okay, team. Man. You got this thing to sound killer.
You know more than the rest of us, that's for sure.
Okay, well, listen, anyway, this is a great one. I know a lot of guys that are touring now, and they can't bring amps, and this is a full, this thing is great with a with the cab sim, and a lot of guys are using this.
It's amazing how good this thing really
These
sounds.
Two direct into a PA system would give you the sound with the cab setting and then the presence to adjust it. This is all you need to do an electric guitar through the PA system. Oh, so yeah. That's a pretty cool thing.
Cool, thanks. Yeah, and the other thing I just remembered that I wanted to, it has a, like Sunset, it has a built-in noise gate that's really kind of nicely tuned up where, in fact, you can hear, you know, because I'm at a high gain here through my favorite, that when, when I play, you can hear the noise. So it's actually, there's a noise gate, but if I play this note and just let it ring.
Yeah, you're hearing the buzz.
But the point of that is like, you don't hear the note just, you know, it's not like a, the noise gate just came in. It's like, it's a very, so it's, you can like play a chord. So meanwhile, I'm quiet here when I'm not playing, but if I play a chord. It's natural, like you don't hear chattering or a drop off in the noise gate. So
it takes a little bit. The sensitivity is very
great.
Musical.
Actually, that's right. Really
it's very
really
musical.
Good.
And
so it just
to
just
be
faded
said
out there, yeah.
Because he's got humbuckers on here, but these fluorescent lights are just awful for a guitar. So this is a good example of a noisy environment.
Right.
Well, even like I get clients to complain about. They don't understand. Gain pedals have white noise. But it's really, I'm listening to it really carefully. It's at a minimum here because of their noise gate. It's so sensitive that it really lets your sound, your tone, and your note filter through without cutting it off abruptly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing we decided. Like, okay, we're gonna put a noise gate in here. You know, it's got to be a good one, and mm-hmm. You know, really, you know, enhance the experience. So we're pretty happy with how it came out.
Cool. Well, let's now go to the Deco pedal, my favorite.
Sure.
Flip your mic so it's facing you. That's why you're sounding so distant there. You're going to have to, yeah. You can push it back a little bit. I have the gain up, so try it now.
Okay.
Oh, my God. There she is. I was wondering where
I'm back.
I'm turning the gain up. I'm like, where is she going? Okay, so now we're going to look at the Deco pedal. So tell us about this thing. This is very cool.
So the Deco is the inspiration for that. It came from the old studio tricks that were done with tape decks, with reel-to-reel tape decks, and generally involved two tape decks. And like one of the first effects was getting a delay that the tape basically gets recorded from the record head and played back on the playback head. And based on the speed of the tape and the distance of those two heads, there's a delay. So if you actually monitor your direct signal and then listen to a playback, you'll get a natural echo. And they would do that in the studio, and you would typically have two different tape speeds, so you could get, you know, a shorter echo or a longer echo, and it was maybe like 150 milliseconds or 300 milliseconds, and that was it. That was kind of like your one slap effect. But then in the 60s, they got more creative with using two decks that were synchronized. And by listening to the playback head of each one, now you could kind of make slight adjustments to the speed of one of the decks, and then essentially move the signal in advance or behind the other signal that from the deck that you aren't manipulating. And those created the classic tape flanging effects, and it had a very kind of distinctive sound, because as you have a signal that you have two versions of, and one of them you're moving in time versus the other, you create a series of cancellations and reinforcements in the frequency spectrum. And so when you're playing through a whole mix with, you know, cymbals and vocals, you get a very, we were just mentioning some of the songs, or like the Doobie Brothers, Listen to the Music, or, you know, Queen, you know,
just the opening of Electric Ladyland. And the term flange came from, they would put the palm of their hand on the flange, tape flange. That's what it was called, flanging. So he would just put his hand on it a little bit and warble it, disrupt the even tape flow, and that would cause that.
Right.
Which is interesting, because he does that on this pedal, and we'll talk about that. The wobble effect on here does that. It's pretty random. It works. It's pretty musical.
Right, yeah. We definitely kind of spent some time tuning that up. And the other half of Deco is based on the dynamic properties of and saturating properties of the reel-to-reel tape itself, that, you know, had a limited capacity. You know, you can only turn the signal up so much before the tape becomes saturated and can't record higher levels. And along with wanting to reduce noise through the system and kind of battle the physics of the recording process, these tape decks have an EQ system called pre-emphasis and de-emphasis, where the high frequencies are enhanced before they get recorded and then are filtered after, you know, the high frequencies are reduced after the on the playback side. So what happens is, there's a dynamic band limiting kind of frequency response that goes on whenever you're kind of, you know, push the tape and clip the tape. And what you get is really kind of, you know, kind of a fattening of the overall sound. It reduces transient spikes and adds a little bit of third harmonic, you know, kind of fattening throughout the spectrum. So it's, we incorporated the saturation effect on the left side of the pedal, and we kind of tuned that up so you could go, you know, there's tape clipping, and then we kind of, you know, went a little bit further to go into to some, you know, reasonably distorted, but still with the same principle of the tape dynamics, yeah, and saturation.
A good example, even though it wasn't a tape deck preamp, but it was a preamp similar to it, was like with the Beatles Revolution.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That guitar sound wasn't an amp. He just plugged in the board and overdrew it.
Right. Yeah.
And it was that overdrive that and it's a different kind of distortion. It's a little nastier, but it really works.
There's another classic example is Ritchie Blackmore. Part of his secret to his tone was in an old Akai two-track deck that he actually ran in, and he was actually getting his gain, preamp signal through the tape deck. So
So again, this thing's really subtle. The saturation, you can make it really nasty, and you can make it really subtle. But it's nice to just give a little bit of harmonic content into it.
Sure.
So go ahead and show it to us.
All right. So on the right side here, we've got the double tracker, and it has three knobs that are associated with it. The lag time. So that is the amount. The basis of this is that there's two tape decks running, and one is lagging behind the other. And the zero marking at 9 o'clock there, that's when the two decks are actually equally, they're time aligned. And at the lower portion of that knob travel, the lag deck is actually leading at that point. It's actually moved in front of the reference deck. And then on the later part of the travel, the lag deck is getting further and further behind. So it's a delay time of between the two decks, but it's, you know, very very fine resolution that's, you know, goes from, you know, negative values to zero to, you know, nice resolution in the you know, sub millisecond range into you know, milliseconds. You can get kind of nice tape flanging, tape chorus sounds, slap back and doubling sounds, and then at the end it actually gets to a 500 millisecond delay. But it's since it's two decks, basically you get your reference signal, and then you know, you get the copy. You get one copy, but we have a bounce. There's also a type switch here that is sum, where the two decks are in phase, invert, where the lag deck is out of phase, and then bounce, where the lag deck bounces its signal back into the you know, back in for one more repeat. So that, you know, gives you a little extra you know, option there. And then the blend control is the mix between the reference deck, which is fully counterclockwise, and then the lag deck, which is fully clockwise.
Yeah, by blending into the moving more to the source material, you can diminish or when you have it straight up, you get the maximum flanging.
Correct. Yeah.
When you're wobbling it, and then when you pull it over, like I'm running it around 10 o'clock, it makes it a little more subtle, which is in it, and that's really cool too.
Yeah. So like if we start, we're in some mode, so the decks are in phase, we're at a 50-50 blend, and if we turn the wobble all the way off now, it gets a little bit louder, but the decks
are... So you have the two are right in phase.
Yeah, yeah. As close as I can eyeball it here. But as I move the deck, you'll hear the kind of dramatic things that happen right as they're are just slightly misaligned.
And he's going through the zero point. And here, go ahead and
go ahead. Clean it up a little bit, because I want to show something. As I pull the lag down, I'm going farther out. Now it's wobbling, that's why it's getting all weird, but it's basically like a slap delay almost at this point. That's at about 2 o'clock. Go to the, hit the two pickups together. So here, that's the zero point. You can hear it cancel out.
Well, if we go to invert, so the decks are in phase here, so that when you're at zero, you're getting a reinforcement. But if we go to, so now if we invert the deck, then you'll actually hear a full.
So you're hearing that spot.
And what you're hearing is when you sweep, listen to the harmonic harmonics of the sweep. That's the closest I've heard of real tape flanging in a device. Its sweep is, it's very musical. It's that sound that they were using.
Yeah, we've added the so instead of having to do it manually, that's what our wobble control is. So like if I keep this at zero,
and
then add
and
wobble.
He's got it on some, and then go ahead and wobble it. You can hear the zero through. That's the key, because most flanger pedals don't do that, and that's a key part. If you want like the Hendrix sound, that's the part.
Yeah, and depending some classic tunes use a negative. So you can hear it like it's basically going when it goes through zero, it cancels out completely. And if you wanted to make it like not quite canceled completely, you can move the blend knob to go closer to the reference deck, and then
put a little more wobble so it moves, so they can hear the movement. There you go.
So at 50-50, it definitely cancels.
If you listen to the beginning of Electric Ladyland, God's Make Love, you hear it flange, and you'll hear that cancel.
Yeah.
He's doing that with tapes, two tape decks, but that's that effect.
Isn't there a Pink Floyd song, too, that does that with a flange and a phase sound? That
he uses a flange sound. I forget what album it was, but they did that at Abbey Road, and I'm sure they were using the decks.
Right, yeah.
There was no device at that time.
Yeah.
And so we also have an auto flange feature. So like if we set this for, well, let's just go like a little further for kind of a chorus style. And then you start getting slapped back here.
So it's not just a double or like a slap echo. It's actually modulating the... So it's a little richer sounding than just a straight slap.
Right, because the wobble is modulating, yeah.
So it gives it a nice sound.
And then we've got, if you press and hold the bypass, it'll automatically kind of morph your settings and then go through zero. So if I
play, okay. And you hold the pedal down.
Let it up.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Back.
So you can hold it down and it'll do a full sweep.
It kind of seamlessly goes back to your side.
Right, and you're playing something, you're going to hit that note and you just hold that and it just sweeps it.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
And then we've got this bounce mode that...
This is cool.
You an extra echo here.
Now, for you that's listening and Facebook Live, the Facebook Live feed's mono, but it actually ping-pongs between the two channels.
Yeah.
He's got it set up in stereo, and there's stereo output, so by you're using your one input in and use the bounce, it spreads it out. And if you go to the Strymon.net and look at the take a look at the video he does more depth on this, you can hear it. It's really rich.
Yeah, it's a nice addition. So then on the saturation side, these are available, basically, it's independent. You could have saturation without double track or vice versa or both on simultaneously.
Um, that distortion you're getting is just the saturation now. You don't have any. You have the Riverside set up to clean.
Yeah. Here's the bypass. So there's a little bit of. Let's clean the this guy up.
You can hear it's a little fatter sounding. And he's adjusting this guy.
So it's definitely settled down the first half of the travel, but it's like it just kind of fattens it up a little bit here. Let's see.
Now, this volume is a drive or just an overall volume?
Just a level, yeah. The drive is on the saturation knob. So as I turn that up, we'll get a little more bypass.
Definitely fat.
It's a different kind of distortion.
Yeah.
And at maximum, it. So it's you have this kind of dynamic band limiting that happens where. You know, the transients are reduced, but just kind of like fattened up. So it takes, you know, removes the spikes from the signal. You know, wide range of sounds you can get from, you know, traditional slap to flanging and chorusing and just kind of a bunch of movement with some extra harmonics generated by the saturation.
And it's pretty rich. I mean, I'm used to with standard flanger pedals to get it more pronounced, they use regeneration, they feedback the circuit. He's not doing that, and it's getting plenty of the comb filtering.
Right, yeah.
It's really nice. And in the clean mode, when you're not even like playing like an acoustic guitar or something like that, you'll with the overtones of this of the acoustic guitar strings, the sweep is nice. It's just really beautiful.
Yeah, things that have high, you know, extended frequency response really respond nicely to the tape flanging effect at the high frequency there.
That's a beautiful pedal. This is great. This is, if you want to get that Hendrix flange or that flange that you've heard in the studios from the 70s, this is the guy. So, okay, we're almost out of time. I want to get through this guy. This is another one. You've probably seen this. This is one of their big pedals, the Big Sky. So tell us a little bit about this.
So, yeah, this was kind of an exploration into all things reverb. And it's... has a variety of algorithms, some of which kind of are based on physical spaces and some are, you know, based on, I guess, otherworldly imaginative things. And it was really a lot of fun to work on this project. And it seems like, you know, people were looking for something like this. You know, we've had a great response from it and probably one of our most popular pedals, I think.
Yeah.
So it's got... 12 different algorithms ultimately, and you know, full MIDI implementation, stereo in and out, and you can select. There's 100 banks with 3 presets each, so you can just change your presets pretty easily. You've got the classic. Plate, room, and hall, kind of a, I guess you'd say the bread and butter reverbs. And there's a couple different variations in each of those. So like in the, you know, for the room type, it's got, you know, you can actually have 2 different sizes. So this is the studio size. Turn the mix up here a little bit. And then it's got a club size. So it's you know, a little bit of a bigger space. The reflections are a little little, you know, a little more grand there.
Go through the different ones. So show them the plate.
Yeah. So here, here's the hall. I'm just going through the presets we have loaded up here. Here's the plate. So a plate's got a very fast response. It's got a nice bright high end to it.
If you guys remember in the old studio days, the BX-10 or the BX-5 AKG plate, or that was a torsion bar, but the EMT plates, that's EMT, the plate.
140.
Okay.
And there's the spring tank.
That's really good.
So this one's swell, so basically it's got a built-in Dynamics processor, so... So I'm just strumming a chord, and it's, you know, it's giving me that volume.
Don't have to use the volume pedal.
That's right.
Sneaky.
These are like the secret weapons of a lot of boards that are for worship, guitar players for worship. These are, well, we call it the Trinity, the Big Sky, the Mobius, and the Timeline.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now Bloom.
Bloom. Is a reverb that's kind of a slow building. It's very dense, but kind of, you know, builds over time. So it gives you this, you know, sensation of a blooming sound. And then the Cloud is it's a big. Kind of, you know, spacious, ethereal kind of sounding reverb.
Oh, that's nice.
And we can, so, you know, the decay on this one can go to 50 seconds or more, you know, more than. So, yeah, we'd have to wait another minute to hear that go out. So, then we've got one called
Shimmer or Chorale.
Chorale. Yeah, so Chorale is a, it's like having a choir kind of mixed into your reverb.
It does have a voice in it. That's cool.
You can actually change the vowels here. So let's go to ah. This is ah, ooh. So it'll kind of randomly switch between ah and ooh. So yeah, there's a variety of vowels in vocals.
That's very cool. That's very
cool. That one's fun. So here's Shimmer, which has a... two voices that you can select independent. The independent harmony, the shift here. So let's see, that's an octave. So now it's a perfect fifth.
Oh, wow, you can change the pitch of it.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So, yeah, you've got two different pitches that you can choose and then dial in how much of that you want.
Okay.
And then
Magneto.
Magneto, yeah, is a, like a multi-head. Our Volante delay and our Magneto Eurorack was kind of this was a precursor to that in a sense. It's a multi-head delay that you can select the number of heads and we've got a spacing control either. So there's even spacing, then uneven spacing. There's a lot of, like, you know, the shadows and things like that. The effect they got from their multi-head delays was very, you know, reverberant in nature. So we thought it'd be fun to, you know, put that, you know, in as a...
That's
as
cool. As it's real musical, too.
Yeah, so, yeah, when you're playing it, if you play, depending on how you're playing it, it sounds more like a reverb at any...
Okay, now nonlinear.
So nonlinear.
I'm sorry, I'm pushing you because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, nonlinear is you know, basically some different shapes of. So like this one. you know, it's called, so that's a reverse delay. Then we've got like a swoosh, which is even more reverse. Or a gate. It just plays, and then there's a secondary reverb in there that you have parameters to. And then reflections is, here we go, this guy. Reflections is basically calculating the reflections in a room where you specify, there are three different room shapes, oblong or rectangular or square, and then where you want to be in position relative to the walls of that room.
Okay.
So you get a very kind of realistic sense of being, you know, inside a little physical space.
And all through all of this too, he's just going through basically with a fixed set. You have other parameters. You have delay, pre-delay, and mix, so you can dial in how much the intensity is.
Sure, yeah.
It's really adjustable.
Yeah, there's quite a lot in Big Sky. We've got a pretty good selection of videos and content on our website that goes in a lot more depth on the reverbs in there.
So this is the Big Sky and the Deco and the Riverside. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
I look forward to the next one because we'll have even more pedals. And thank you, Kathy, for coming down.
Oh, you're
and
welcome,
Jack. It's always great. And then don't forget, if you guys need a power supply, actually, you can call Tone Zone LA and give them the website.
www.tonezonela. It's spelled just like it sounds, tonezonela.com.
Okay. And then strymon.net /Zuma if you want to look at the Zuma and check it out. But you can get it from Kathy if you want to, and it's for a good cause. And there's strymon.net. So there's plenty of videos. He shows some really cool things, and it goes in a little more depth than what we were talking about today. But I want to thank you guys again, and it's always a pleasure to have you here, and I look forward to the next one. So they'll be back again. We're going to do all of these pedals before I'm destined to go through all of them. So anyway, everybody, thank you again for being here, and we will see you next week. Have a great week, and have a good one. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.